Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are strapping in for a really high-stakes topic.
It's a big one.
A very big one. We're looking at one of the most stressful experiences anyone can go through, buying a home, but with a twist. Specifically, when you choose to go the self-directed path.
And that's a complex niche. I mean, when you really peel back the layers of a typical home purchase, you realize there's this huge scaffolding of professionals, right?
Right.
You've got your lender, your agent, the title company, the escrow officer. And going self-directed basically means the individual decides to, well, fire that entire scaffolding.
And absorb all those roles themselves.
Yes, exactly.
So our source material today is extremely targeted. It's just an excerpt, and it's titled Self-Directed Home Purchase Escrow Challenges. Our mission here isn't just to, you know, repeat the title back to you.
Yeah.
Our mission is to extract the single most crucial operational insight from this material. The goal is to prepare you for the unique friction points in this very specific type of transaction. Okay, let's unpack this.
You know, what's fascinating here is that the title itself tells you almost everything you need to know.
How so?
Well, by isolating self-directed and escrow, it's already flagging a systemic vulnerability. It tells us that whatever efficiencies or, you know, cost savings you thought you were gaining by going self-directed in the early phases.
Like the house hunting or the negotiation.
Right, all that stuff. The source is suggesting that those savings are fundamentally offset by these high-risk complexities that show up right at the end. During the closing phase.
That's a great point. And the essential finding, the one declarative statement presented in this material is this. Escrow challenges arise for self-directed home purchases. Now, on the surface, that might sound a little obvious.
It could, yeah.
Of course, a complex process without experts is going to be hard. But the power here is really in the context. It's a confirmation of the systemic nature of the risk. It's not if challenges will arise, but that they will.
It confirms the risk, yes, but I think for a knowledgeable audience, the real aha moment isn't that challenges exist. The true insight we have to extract is about the nature of the risk transfer.
The risk transfer. Oh, yeah.
Where does that liability actually land when you remove all the intermediaries? If we're being told that challenges are confirmed to arise, well, we need to know what they actually look like on the ground.
I agree completely. We need to get past the semantics of the word arise and focus on what that means procedurally. When we look at a self-directed purchase, we have to understand that the buyer isn't just saving a commission.
No, not at all.
They are absorbing the full liability for managing these three critical touch points: regulatory, financial, legal, all inside escrow.
So let's break down the mechanics of that liability transfer. Escrow, as we know, is that final non-negotiable stage. It's where the money, the title, the deed, it all exchanges hands under neutral oversight.
It's mandatory.
It's mandatory. And the fact that friction is confirmed here means the difficulty happens when your financial exposure is at its absolute maximum and your time is at its shortest.
So let's drill down into what a confirmed escrow challenge actually translates into for you, the self-directed learner. We can probably hypothesize three specific failure modes based on the duties that are usually handled by the professionals who are now, well, absent.
This is where it gets really interesting, because the most common and I'd say potentially devastating challenge revolves around strict federally mandated closing procedures.
Right.
Particularly under the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act. Yes. RESPA.
Right. Think about the lender's final closing disclosure, the CD. It must be provided to the buyer at least 3 business days before closing. And that's not a suggestion. It is a hard and fast rule.
It is. And for a self-directed buyer, just managing the timing and the logistics of that CD delivery can become a sudden, really acute challenge.
Exactly. In a normal transaction, if that CD is late or it has an error, the buyer's agent and the lender's coordinator are on the phone immediately. They're working to reschedule the closing. They're protecting the buyer's rate lock. They're the shock absorber.
They are the shock absorber. That's the perfect term for it.
But our source material confirms this pressure point lands squarely on the self-directed buyer's shoulders. So imagine this. You're at work, you get the CD late, and because you don't have an agent coordinating everything.
And communicating with the lender's team.
Right. Your loan commitment might expire. Or the seller might start charging you a per diem penalty for the delay. That's a true, costly, out-of-pocket challenge.
And this isn't just, you know, a simple paperwork delay. This is a failure to manage regulatory compliance timing. It requires an expert-level understanding of Tillaresta integrated disclosures, and the novice buyer is often only alerted to the problem after the rule has already been violated.
And then it's a scramble.
It's a total scramble.
Yeah. Okay, so that's procedural failure number one. Let's move to the second major area of friction, which is one that requires a really specialized review. The title commitment.
Ah, yes. The title commitment. It's basically an insurance policy that guarantees clear ownership of the property, and it gets delivered during that escrow period.
And it lists everything the insurance won't cover.
Exactly. It outlines every single exception, every easement, every restrictive covenant, any existing lirafuck that the title company will not insure against.
Now, a buyer's attorney or, you know, even just an experienced agent would review those exceptions line by line. They'd be flagging anything that might restrict how you plan to use the property.
Right, like an unexpected utility easement running right through the spot where you plan to build a deck.
A classic example.
And for a self-directed buyer, that title commitment is just a dense legalistic document. The challenge that the source material confirms arises because the buyer often lacks the expertise to know what's standard versus what's a real problem.
How do you tell the difference between a standard exception, like, say, mineral rights in some states,
and a truly problematic one, like a cloud on the title from a prior unreleased mortgage or some kind of boundary dispute? You can't, not without experience.
And if the self-directed buyer misses a critical exception, they are essentially closing on a defect. They've just assumed a massive uninsured liability.
And that's a challenge that arises not as a delay, but as a failure of due diligence. And it's one that might only surface years later when you try to sell or develop the property yourself.
It really highlights the core difference, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A traditional buyer is paying for a professional to interpret risk and protect them from it.
Whereas the self-directed buyer is just accepting this dense legal document and has to assume 100% of the risk of misinterpreting it.
Okay, so let's talk about procedural failure number three. Mm-hmm. This one often centers around managing contingencies and what's called the cure period.
Right, so most purchase agreements have contingencies for things like the inspection, the appraisal, your financing, and they all have strict deadlines.
And if an issue comes up.
If an issue arises, the contract usually allows for a defined period of time, the cure period, where both parties have to negotiate a solution.
And the challenge here, which the source material confirms, is all about coordination and negotiation, but under a huge amount of stress.
Exactly. Let's say the inspection reveals a major roof defect. The self-directed buyer now has to, quickly analyze the cost of the repair.
Formally present an amendment to the seller.
Negotiate a credit or a repair, and then make sure that amendment is legally binding.
And you're doing all of this while the clock on that cure period is just ticking down.
It's a race. And this kind of negotiation, it really requires experience. A professional knows the market leverage points. They know the legal language you need to protect your deposit.
But the self-directed buyer is often negotiating against a seller who does have a sophisticated agent.
That's the mismatch.
Yeah, and that makes the amateur effort just prone to errors, misunderstandings, or really costly compromises. That friction is the confirmed challenge.
So if the source material confirms that challenges arise in self-directed escrow, what it's really saying is that the system is not forgiving of novice errors during these three critical phases.
Regulatory timing.
Legal review of the title.
And high-pressure contingency negotiation.
And that brings us back to the so what for you, the learner. The source material is basically a mandate for strategic preparation. You cannot treat escrow as some simple administrative procedure that just, you know, handles itself.
It's a critical operational complexity.
It is.
So if you were determined to go self-directed and absorb all this closing risk, your budget shouldn't just eliminate all professional help.
No, it needs to reallocate that money.
Reallocate it where?
Specifically toward expert support during the escrow phase.
So that means what? At a minimum, reserving funds for a real estate attorney to do some very targeted tasks.
Yes, exactly that. You might not need them for the initial negotiation, but you absolutely need them to review that title commitment and to make sure your closing disclosure package complies with all the Reis PA timing requirements.
It's like purchasing highly specialized insurance.
That's a great way to put it.
You're hiring expertise only for the moments the source material confirms you are most likely to fail. And the cost of a few hours with a specialized attorney is, I mean, it's negligible compared to the cost of a failed closing.
Or litigation down the road because of a mistitled defect.
Right.
The source material is essentially telling you, Your greatest vulnerability lies in that space between signing the contract and getting the deed transferred. That is where all the procedural landmines are buried for the self-directed approach.
Uncrucially, since the material confirms the challenges arise from the structure of the transaction, the lack of an intermediary, your main preparation has to be time management.
Time management and developing a robust contingency plan. You need to know, ahead of time, who you are going to call when that unexpected layer appears on the title report.
You need your own checklist.
A self-directed buyer needs to create their own procedural checklist that is far, far more detailed than anything a traditional buyer would ever use.
So setting internal deadlines that are maybe several days before the actual contract deadlines.
Yes. For reviewing those crucial documents, like the final appraisal or the survey, you build in your own buffer.
So the insight isn't just knowing that challenges exist. It's using that knowledge to anticipate the exact flavor of those challenges, regulatory, legal, negotiation fatigue, and then preemptively staffing against them.
That's what turns a vague warning into an actionable strategy.
Right.
This kind of structured awareness prevents panic, because when the inevitable issue arises, and the source material says they will arise, you've already identified if it's a title issue that needs a lawyer, or a timing issue that needs a rapid call to your lender.
So we embarked on this deep dive looking at the source material on self-directed home purchase escrow challenges.
And we've translated that definitive confirmation that escrow challenges arise into concrete operational risks.
The key takeaway then is this. Going self-directed means you are the chief risk officer for your own transaction.
And the source material proves that the escrow phase is your highest liability area, period.
So what does this all mean?
It means the self-directed buyer has to recognize that they've accepted the procedural workload of multiple professionals, and the failure to perform those duties correctly, especially reviewing title commitment exceptions or managing our RSPO compliance, that is what the source material is confirming as your greatest risk.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the source really forces us to appreciate the structural necessity of those professional roles we talked about at the beginning.
It does. And given that the source confirms challenges arise when that professional buffer is removed, consider this provocative thought for a moment.
Okay.
How much of the true cost of a real estate transaction is actually the cost of expertise? And how much is simply the cost of absorbing liability?
That's interesting.
When you save money on commissions, you aren't actually reducing the transaction's liability. You're just personally paying the premium of potential failure.
The ultimate insight, then, is that preparedness in a self-directed closing is not just prudent, it is absolutely essential.
It is, because the challenges are confirmed to be waiting for you in that final sprint to the finish line. Go in expecting friction, and you'll be ready to deploy the right specialist when that difficulty inevitably, and it will, appear.